Hello, my girls. Welcome back to the podcast today. I have my beautiful friend, Abby. We actually connected on Instagram, which if you know me is one of my favorite ways of finding my guests for my podcast. But this woman is truly such a gift. She teaches women how to really follow their cycles, understand their periods, understand their ovulation, and take back, I think, that power of being a woman and having a period. Like, there is no shame or guilt around it. And so I really want to introduce Abby. We're going to talk today about just your cycle, what it means, all of these different things, and how to really see the benefit of taking care of yourself to support your cycle, not to, unfortunately, like we have experiences, possibly fall into not having one. So I'll let Abby kind of introduce herself and we'll just get started. Thank you so much for being here, Abby.
Thank you so much for asking me. I'm so happy to be able to talk about this with you and everybody listening. Like, I am so passionate about understanding our cycles because as women, it's just so empowering to like live with yourself and like who you are and what your body does for you. I am a functional nutritionist. I focus in women's health. I love fertility, understanding ovulation, helping people get pregnant and heal their cycles. So I practice from a place of mind, body, medicine, healing trauma, and focusing a lot on nutrition, the food you eat, how your lifestyle affects your cycle, and things like that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I think this is going to be such a cool, like Abby and I already talked about, but I think this is such an empowering topic because there is so much more to your period than we think. And we were even discussing right before we started recording about how growing up, I remember being told like, yeah, you'll get a period. And then I never heard anything else about it. I didn't know like what it meant, when, what the purpose of it was. Like, truthfully, it was kind of just like, yeah, like all women have periods, use a tampon, like have a great day. Like, I had no idea that it was like, you know, this like monthly report card. And then it meant so much about how is your cycle doing? How are you supporting your cycle, et cetera? And do you have a similar like past with it, Abby? I guess, how did you get into kind of wanting to do this incredible work for women?
So when I was in my master's program, I really love just like hormones. I think hormones are so cool. Like, I'm a true nerd at heart. Like, give me a textbook and I'm so happy. And really, there's so much behind it that we can learn from it for our bodies, like to make us healthy. And I wanted to be able to focus on bringing that to a level that people can understand because hormones are kind of difficult to understand. So from there, at the same time that I was getting my master's, I was getting pregnant and having children. And so it took me about 8 months to get pregnant with my first child. And through that time, I learned about my cycle. Like, I, honest to God, when I started, I had no idea that there was like ovulation time. Like, I had to time sex to get pregnant. Like, I wasn't taught that. I thought, you know, you have sex, you get pregnant, but that's not the case. And so that's where a lot of it started. And then after I had my daughter, my second child, I ended up having two miscarriages. So it was there that like I really took a deep dive into understanding our menstrual cycles and like what really goes into it, because we are taught nothing. Like, what we were taught growing up, I just feel like was so negative and not like, you know, your period was a burden and like, you know, no one is to know that you're on your, you know, on your period. We're like, this is just like, there's so much that happens during these times that we should be educated. We should know that the feelings that we have during these phases of our cycle, they're things to know. You know what I mean? Like, there's times in your cycle where you're confident, and then there's times in your cycle where like, it's okay to not get off the couch. And we need to know that this is innate. This is what our body goes through. Like, we should be able to support this. I don't know if that answers what you were saying. I'm going to go on tangents.
It absolutely does. Oh, perfect. We're both tangent queens. No, it totally does. And thank you so much for sharing that, Abby, like that vulnerable moment, because that's hard. And a lot of women go through it and feel that they can't share it, or that there was something wrong with them, or no one goes through this. And that's just not the case. Like, I know there's so many misconceptions around our like cycles. And I think that that's kind of where our tone is going, which I think is really cool because yeah, one of mine was that I didn't understand ovulation at all. Another of mine was that it was okay, like you were saying, to have these different emotions throughout the month, even when you weren't on your period. I think one of the biggest things for me personally, and maybe people listening, is I always saw my period as just when I was bleeding. Like, I didn't understand that like every day of the month was part of my womanhood, I guess, or like part mm-hmm. of my cycle. And so if I had a day, like you were saying, I have days throughout the month, I was telling Abby this before, where like I'm super productive. And then there's some days that like I literally can't focus to save my life, but they're always somewhat the same each month. Or there's days of the month where I'm starving. And for me personally, that actually happens before my period, not on it. And so like, there's all these things that can be different, but I think that was my biggest one, was I thought, okay, if something emotionally or physically or mentally is going on with me during the month, it can't be related to my period because I'm not on it. And like, I think that that's a huge misconception that women have.
I think another misconception that is not talked about, because this is, you know, also taboo, is sex drive. Mm-hmm. Like, leading up to ovulation, our bodies, like, if you are noticing that you have an increased sex drive, that's because your body wants to have sex. And it's okay as a woman to feel that way. Like, embrace mm-hmm. it. These are our body's natural instincts. Like, our cycle, like, our bodies want to reproduce. Our women, as women, we want to have babies. Like, our bodies do, whether you want to or not. Like, that is okay. But knowing that that's the cycle that our body is going through on a regular basis, that is why we have these feelings. Your body's ramping up for ovulation to actually conceive a child. And so it's telling you, like, let's get it on. Like, you might feel fiery. You might feel confident. You're like wearing those skin tight jeans, and there's a reason. And it's okay to feel that way. It's okay. And having, you know, wanting to have sex is not just for the guys. Like, we're allowed to feel that way.
I adore that. I think that is such, that's such a huge one as well. And like, I couldn't agree more, where it's, there's this whole like misconception that drives me absolutely bonkers. Or I guess it's like a stereotype of like, oh, women are crazy. And there's something about like, oh, it heats me up. I'm like sweating. I hate when the default is just, oh, women are crazy. We're emotional beings. Like, we just are. We are more often than not hormonally and geared towards being more emotional. We have that motherly instinct, whether you want to be a mother or not. Like, I personally don't want to have children, and I've like made that decision and that works for me, but I still have like, I care a lot. And a lot of the times throughout the month, I feel like I care more, or I feel like I'm going through those phases of like, I feel great. And then the next day I'm like, not feeling it, not feeling anything today. Right. And like, all of these things, they're not crazy. That's like my biggest pet peeve ever. They're not crazy. It's something, there's a reason behind all of it. It's the same thing that I do with my girls with eating. So often I hear the question or the conversation around, I just feel ravenous. Like, I feel crazy. Or like, people are thinking that like me having extreme hunger is like just so weird. And so it's the word crazy. It just gets me. It makes me so mad. I'm like, there's a reason behind it. There's always a reason behind it, especially when it comes to your cycle. There are things going on in your body. Even if your brain isn't telling you exactly in sentences, like, what's happening, our bodies are all chemicals. They're all hormones, and they have their own agenda. It's the same when we try to like lose weight and look a certain way. Our body has its own agenda, and we rarely check in on it. We always kind of push our to-do and push our agenda from our brain.
We need to listen. That's the biggest thing, is there's a huge disconnect between our mind and our body. Are you listening? Are you seeing what it's trying to tell you? And our menstrual cycle is huge for being able to show us there might be imbalances. And there's so many ways that it does this. But to touch on what you were saying about the word crazy, I just posted about this the other day saying, I used to think there was something wrong with me because I had big emotions, because I felt like having sex, because I felt like sitting on the couch, because, you know, you go through all these things. I thought there was something wrong with me, when really it was my body telling me what it wants, what it needs, what it's craving. And we really need to sit down and have that conversation with our bodies. We need to listen when it's trying to tell us something, because it's important. And we can't keep just shoving it away. Like, the more that you don't listen to your body and do what it needs, I mean, we hold that stuff in, you know, like there's so many times where like emotional stuff, it gets set in your body. I feel it in my hips when I need to cry, or in my chest when I need to show self-love or love to others. Like, stuff holds in our body energy. We're energy beings, and we need to be able to explore that and listen and go with it. The flow with your flow.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. We need merch. That's like a merch thing. I love that. Like, no, you're so, so incredibly right. Like, there is a disconnect between, I think, not only women, I think people in the world, everyone is like at war with their body. It's like, I hate it. I hate this. I hate that. It doesn't do this. It doesn't do that. It doesn't look this way. Everyone does this. Everyone somehow forgets that you aren't your body, but at the same time you are. And I know that's very confusing, but it's like your meaning and your value and everything doesn't lie in your body. However, it's doing its best for you. So you should do your best for it. Like you're one in the same. And that can be really kind of confusing at times, but I would love to hear how you help women kind of listen to their body. Is there things that are, and I know this is hard, I don't want like you to feel like you have to diagnose people, but are there things that help you kind of reconnect with your cycle? Are there things that help you support a healthier cycle? Are there things that don't, and kind of in the grand scheme of it, I guess?
Oh, goodness. Okay. So like in the grand scheme of your cycle, you know, I focus a lot on people understanding their cycle through charting. So charting your cycle, there's a lot of cycle apps out there, you know, like fertility trackers, ovulation trackers, whatever it is. But by looking at those cycles, whether you're checking your temperatures on a daily basis or, you know, looking at your cervical mucus, but really just knowing like the number of days in your cycle alone, you know, that can tell you so much about how healthy it is and what you could be experiencing. Like a lot of women have, so like the normal window for a menstrual cycle is usually like 24 to 36 days. Mm-hmm. Anything outside of there is a pretty good idea that there's imbalances going on. And depending on where those days are falling short or where they're going long can tell you a lot about where you can support your body. And so, gosh, there's the best part about like cycle syncing. I love cycle syncing. Oh, the concept of providing your body with different nutrients, exercises, social interactions during different phases of your cycle is just insanely beneficial to supporting it. So like, for example, during ovulation, your ovulatory phase, when the egg is being prepared to go from your ovary to your uterus in hopes of conceiving and being fertilized, that is when your body naturally has more energy. And so that's when, if you are interested in doing more intense workouts, like the HIIT workouts or going for a run or something, that's the time to do it because your body has that extra energy. It's naturally more open to these types of exercises, or you're more social during this time. So that's a great time to really connect with your friends, or you can have those hard conversations that you've been meaning to have. Whereas during your menstrual phase, because, you know, that's when your period actually happens, you know, the phase when you're menstruating, you don't have that energy. You are going through a very, a process that requires energy to actually shed that uterine lining. And that's a time where you need to take a nap. You maybe just do some stretching in the afternoon, or you go to a yoga class, you know, like you have to listen to your body. And that is not necessarily the time to do a HIIT workout unless your body's craving it. And that's something you're able to do, you know, like there's this huge thing. So, and then, during your menstrual phase is a better time to, eat cooked food, because so much energy is going into shedding your uterine lining that it's easier for on your body to have food that's cooked. because it's easier for you to digest. Not as much energy has to go into doing that. Whereas like the follicular phase and the ovulatory phase is the time to eat your raw veggies. And, you know, it has more energy to use to break down foods. Oh, I could go on forever. There's so much we could do to support our cycle that we don't know about.
I kind of forgot we were recording because I was like, this is so interesting. I'm not kidding. I was looking at the screen and I was like, No, like that is because I like for listeners now, like I don't know much about this. That's why I was so excited to have Abby on. I took like a very, very small course from the Bundle Co. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of it. It was like a free like menstrual cycle course. And it was very geared towards like stress and how stress plays into your period and into your cycle, which was crazy.
It's huge.
Huge. And so I love hearing about, like the workouts and the diets and to take this and to kind of put both of our own spins on it, because we both have like past experiences with struggling with food and struggling with eating disorders. I think what you can also kind of take away from this, like Abby was saying with the food and the exercise and everything, is that you're not a robot. And I think in our world today, there's so much around like eating 1700 calories every day, working out five times a week, every week, not napping except on the weekend. Like once again, our brain kind of has taken over this like data analytical way of living where it's like every single day should kind of be the same. Like you should always do that hour run, or you should always eat 60% of your calories of protein, whatever it is. Like we kind of have taken over our body's natural tendencies and they're there for a reason. Instead we've said, no, you need to weigh this much. You're going to only eat this much and you're going to eat this way and live this way every single day. When on our body's chemical level and energy level, like you were saying, every day is not the same. And I had to learn that because it was so hard for me to go from kind of having that like diet mindset of I eat the same foods and I eat the same way and I eat the same times or whatever every single day, to when I really started to lean into kind of how my body's feeling. I guess I was doing it not realizing I was leaning into my cycle as well, but like I said, the 2 to 3 days leading up to my period, you girl eats so much food, so much food. And it's okay. Like Abby, it's okay. There's a reason for that. Your period is, it's a beautiful thing. But like Abby was saying, it also is, I don't want to say hard on your body, but it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of calories, food, energy, all of these things. And so learning about this, I think, brings such awareness to like, you're not a robot. You have feelings for a reason. You have tendencies for a reason. And learning how to lean into those and support your body through what it's doing on the back end, instead of only focusing once again on kind of like your agenda, your data kind of perception of what food and exercise should be.
Yeah. And, you know, I think also something that comes along with understanding your menstrual cycle is your body image. So like I have learned that, you know, as you're approaching your menstrual phase and you are about, or you are on your period, you are a little bit more bloated than you are at the time of ovulation. And it takes understanding where you are in your period to be like, I may not see my abs today, or you know what I mean? Like those pants, they're not going to fit me today, but in a week from now, when I'm in a different phase of my cycle, I can wear that crop top, or like, I'm going to feel better in those jeans. And it's accepting your body for how it is. And that this is the cycle of our lives. And I mean, I've suffered with body image, you know, things for, you know, majority of my life. And it wasn't until after I had children and I embraced my cycle that I was like, it's okay. I'm okay to be this way. It's okay to eat more food when I'm hungry, you know, and the best part of knowing your cycle is when to eat those foods, you know, and like that, it's okay that those real foods, those potatoes provide nutrients for me. It's okay to eat them, you know? I mean, preferably not fried 100% of the time, but, you know, like knowing that it's okay to live a balanced lifestyle and that I'm not going to be perfect 100% of the time. I'm not going to look perfect, but this is me and I'm embracing it and I'm growing with it and I'm making it healthier, happier. I'm not stressing, you know? And, you know, sometimes, you know, I know way, you know, when I had my issues and I was like, I saw that little bit of bloat, it was like, cut calories. Do you know how much that hurts your cycle to cut calories? We need food. We need nutrients. We need fat. We need healthy fat to produce the hormones that our body needs to have a healthy cycle. So the second that you start cutting calories, and there's, I focus a lot on fertility, and in a lot of cases, when people are having struggles, some providers will tell them you need to lose weight. And what's the first thing a person's going to do? They're going to overexercise and they're going to cut calories. And that's the last thing you should do for a healthy cycle and getting pregnant or enhancing your fertility. And it's just like this concept of understanding that it's okay to work with it and live with it and embrace it. And, you know, it's empowering, you know, to look at my body and be like, you're good, girl, you're working it. You've got this.
yes, that's like literally, yes. You said two things that really made me think about, cause you're right. Like I always say to my clients, like your body isn't as worried about your image as your brain is. And so our brains want to look a certain way and we want to always look lean, muscular, toned, whatever it is. And our bodies are busy staying alive. And a huge part of staying alive is staying healthy and staying well. And a huge part of staying well and healthy is having a healthy period. And to have a healthy period, you need a good amount of fat on you to do so. And so it is this kind of like conflictual argument going on a lot of the times with diet culture, saying like, no, you can look super, super thin all the time and you should look super thin all the time. Here's how, cut calories, like you were saying. But our bodies are like, excuse me, like we're just trying to like do our thing. We don't really care. We're trying to live. I say all the time, I'm like, my body was so preoccupied, so busy trying to keep me alive. And I was so busy saying that it looked wrong. And so I think that's helped me massively with my body image, is understanding that those different agendas do exist and how do we find the balance of them. And continuing with that, I think there's also this thing, because I was this way where I would want things that I didn't understand to go away. And what I mean by that is like looking at my period. On the days that I was bloated, I didn't understand why I was bloated. So I got angry at the bloat because I didn't have awareness of what was going on. And I think we always want things to be taken away. Like I was like, I just don't want to bloat anymore. But the most empowering thing you can actually do is learn why you're bloating. It's the same thing with eating disorder recovery. Like I go back to the extreme hunger, like people get so angry at the extreme hunger and they want it to go away and they get so frustrated with it. But then when they have conversations with me or with their therapist, doctors, whatever, and they can explain to them why this is happening and that it's okay that it's happening, it's actually for their benefit that it's happening, it doesn't seem as scary and we don't get so angry and so frustrated with what's going on. So I love that you were saying like the educational piece of what women listening might be thinking right now is like, no, I hate that bloat phase. I hate that, you know, time that I feel heavier or whatever it may be, but you don't want it to go away because it serves you. So how can we better educate ourselves as women on why it's there, what's going on, and how we can fall in love with that? When we don't understand things and we don't have awareness around it, it's really easy to attack our body, to get angry, instead of understanding that it is for our betterment. There is a purpose behind it. And if it wasn't there, if the bloating didn't happen because you weren't getting your period, if your cycle was really thrown off, et cetera, it would do you so much more damage than just embracing your bloat, right?
Yeah. And, you know, and I think I focus so much on loving my body that, you know, not everybody feels that way. And that's okay. But you are so right that as long as you understand why it's happening, you know, like it's okay to not love the bloat. But as long as you know, like, this is happening because my body is healthy, it is going through a phase of its regular cycle right now, and this is giving me good insight as to what's going on. And, you know, in some cases that there's like extreme bloat, this is telling you that there might be something going on. And it's just the idea of, right, being educated, knowing that this is my body telling me something and that it's happening for a reason. And, you know, just, you may not love it, but you have to accept it. Like, this is you. Don't fight it. Like, this is, and it's not going to stop, and, you know, until you reach the point of menopause, you know, and then we enter into a whole new world of different things. But until then, like, you know, you just, why fight it for all those years? Why? You know, like, we, this is our lives. This is like what keeps us. There's a saying that your menstrual cycle is your fifth vital sign. Like, this is huge. You know, like, this really tells, I tell people all the time, I look at their charts and I can tell so much about their bodies and what's going on inside there. And like, and they're always like, you can see all of that. And I'm like, I can't even tell. I can't even explain to you everything I see just from knowing about your cycle without even a lab test, you know, like, it's crazy.
No, that's like incredible. And I would love, like, it is, it's magical. And it's a whole realm, I think, of wellness that I think there is more coming to it, which is amazing. But I think, yeah, for a long, long time, including kind of now, it's been skipped over. It's like, like, take your heart rate, take your pulse, take your whatever, like, don't really think about it. If you're having a period, great. But what is having a good period to you? What should a period look like? What's there to learn from it? And if you don't mind me asking, like, I have one final question. I would love to know, like, because I think personally right now in COVID, I noticed when COVID started and when quarantine started, my period did change. I, like, for the first month or two, because I just wasn't moving as much, I had like really bad cramps because I'm pretty active normally. And so the first month that I had it and I like had those really bad cramps, once again, like me being kind of a, what's the word? Being bad on my word because I don't always take my advice. I was like, what the heck? What's going on? Why do I feel this way? Like getting all angry, right? Like all up in arms. But then as time went on, I started to realize like, hey, once again, my body reacts certain ways to stress. It reacts certain ways to change. It reacts certain ways to all of these different things that are going on in the world. Have you experienced kind of your clients or just in general that shift with quarantine and COVID? And what advice would you kind of give girls right now in this kind of period with their period, I guess?
I have heard so much about people having period or menstrual cycle changes during COVID. Stress plays a huge role in your menstrual cycle. And, you know, a lot of people, like, because I deal a lot with pregnancy, you know, people getting pregnant and everyone's always like, they say just, you know, stop stressing, blah, blah. And it's not that kind of stress. It is, you know, the stress that you don't really see. And what happens in our bodies is when we get stressed out, there's this whole cascade of events that goes on inside our body. And when it comes to making stress hormones and sex hormones, they come from the same parent. Okay. So it takes the same compound to make stress hormones and sex hormones. And when your body is stressed, it needs to make more stress hormones. It's going to shuffle all of the energy and nutrient requirements to making the stress hormones. And I'm not sure if anybody has heard of like the fight or flight nervous system. And then there's, I call it rest, digest, and sex. So when your body is stressed, it goes into fight or flight mode and it shuts down the energy and nutrients to all those other places, which would happen to be your gut and sex hormone production. And so when we're constantly in a stressed mode, our body's not focused on that. And so I always notice that, you know, the second someone gets stressed, that's where you're going to see it, is in your menstrual cycle. That is like your first cue that there's something off, because you something changes in your menstrual cycle. And, you know, I would say more often it, you know, menstrual cycle changes that I see, you know, across the board are because of stress, you know, so, and long-term stress is even worse. And, you know, there's a lot that you can do to change it. And one of the biggest things that I talk to clients about is almost every time I talk to them, one of my first questions is, what did you do for yourself today? And, or like, what did you do for yourself this week? You know, cause I talk to them, you know, like every other week. And so if it takes them, you know, a little bit to tell me, then I'm like, you're not working on your stress. You need to be able to tell me at least one thing that you have done for yourself every single day to help with your stress. And, you know, meditation doesn't appeal to everybody. Journaling doesn't appeal to everybody, but it is the concept of making sure that you are taking care of yourself. You are feeling your feelings. You are like sitting there and you're making yourself feel good. You know, like, what are you doing? And I saw something a while ago as a mom. She was like, you know, what did you do for yourself today? And it was, I took a shower for the first time in 6 weeks or 6 days. And I'm like, you know, that's good for you. I'm really happy you did that. But those are, you know, like, I want more, you know, like the shower. I know that helps a lot, but like, I want to make sure that it shouldn't take you 6 days to get there. You know, like, what have you done every single day? Because if we're not taking care of ourselves, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. Oh, what God. Are we doing? And so, you know, and some people use like running as a stress relief, you know, but you have to be mindful of those things, because if you, you know, decide that I'm going to go for a 2-hour run, chances are that you may have actually hurt your hormones more than helped them, because overexercising increases cortisol, which is your stress hormone. And so we really have to be mindful of, like, you know, making sure that what we're doing to take care of ourselves and decrease our stress is really filling our cup up and really bringing us to a place where, you know, we have balance. I hope that answered that. I'm not sure. Again, on the tangents, no, but
I think that's beautiful, because it's not hard, but it doesn't. It takes effort.
Yes,
but it's not expensive, or it's not like hard to get your hands on, or it's not this magical pill or whatever. It's, for me, I completely agree. I think the best thing that I do is just sitting in silence alone in the middle of my day. Because it helps me calm down. It helps me focus on my body. It helps me focus on my breathing. It helps, right? Like, it's not big, grand things that you need to do, but you still need to be doing them. And so, yeah, I love that. Because I think a lot of people right now have fallen into the whole, but there's all these other things I could be doing, especially if you're a mom and you're at home with your kids. But there's all these other things that I need to be doing, should be doing, all these things. But if you're not at your highest self, and if you're not working at your healthiest self, you're not going to be able to give your best, healthiest, highest self to those around you who need it. So thank you so much, Abby. If you'd like, please share all of your, like, where can people find you if they'd love to work with you, et cetera.
Yeah. So, I have an Instagram page. It's, Balancing Nutrition. I also have a website. I like to do a lot of one-on-one coaching. So working with you and teaching you how to chart your cycle, understand your cycle, and ways to heal it if it is off. Or, like I said, I like to work with a lot of people in fertility. So if any of you out there are trying to get pregnant, but are having a difficult time, reach out and we can talk and possibly work together. But yeah, I post a lot of stuff about just like understanding your cycle, different parts of it. And I'm huge on cycle syncing. So if you're wondering how to eat and live for your cycle, I've got lots of stuff on that.
I love it. And I will link everything about Abby on this podcast episode, like in the description box, on my Instagram, all of that. So you'll definitely be able to find her. But thank you so much for listening this week, guys. Like, to the girl who is just kind of interested in learning more about her period, I really hope that this helped you, once again, not feel crazy. You're never crazy. You're just a girl going through her cycle, and every single day is a part of that. So thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you real soon.